Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back. I have a great show for you. But really quick, please click the like, subscribe, and follow button so that way you get notification when a new episode drops. I have a lot of things to talk about today. We are going to unpack several things as well as also talking about organizing of a bathroom today. So, as you know, in my first episode, I believe, I talked about changing my last name. And yesterday, I actually took the leap and finally got my 2 month of waiting appointment at Social Security. And in my mind, I'm going to back up for just 1 second. In my mind, when I was in eighth grade, we went on a trip to Sacramento. And one of the places that they stupidly decided to have us go visit was the DMV. Headquarters. And I remember we all sat there, all these eighth graders, and literally wanting to ram hot pokers in our eyes. I counted the dots on the ceiling. That is what I associate with every building I'm going to go to, Social Security, DMV, it could be a health office, whatever. I just imagine poking your eyes out. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I made an appointment. I waited almost 2 months to get it. I walked in, I clicked that I was there, I sat down for like 6 minutes, they called me, I was out in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I've been waiting almost 8 years to change my name because I imagined the PTSD I had from going to the DMV and counting the dots on the ceiling in eighth grade. And it was fantastic. So the ball is rolling, guys. I'm going to be a Sattell here in about 7 to 10 days, I believe, when I get my new cart. So there is an update on that. Dave is really excited. I don't think he's as excited as I am because he's like, that's really great. And then I told him about the Social Security and he was really more excited about how little time I had to wait and not necessarily the actual name change. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out when I get the card and, you know, we, whatever, do a dance or something. I'm going to give you a tiny snippet into some issues I have with road rage. I have severe road rage. I've had it forever. And now I'm noticing Charlotte is starting to get road rage too when we're going slow behind somebody. Thankfully, she doesn't have my vocabulary yet in terms of really hard to not cuss in the car with her. It's very challenging, especially when everybody is an idiot driver. And I'm, of course, perfect, I'm sure. And I drive like a NASCAR driver and everybody moves out of the way for me. But no one moves out of the way when I'm driving behind slow people. And I have this road rage and I have it all the time. I just came from my mom's in San Diego. Like everybody's in the fast lane and they're going 62 miles an hour. And then you get stuck and you're trying to get over. But now everybody behind you is trying to get over because I'm just going to say it. Sometimes it's the Prius that's holding you up and in the fast lane. And then I get such road rage. But I caught Charlotte the other day. We were driving home from school. And she's like, come on, buddy. We don't got all day. We have places to go. And I'm laughing. But at the same time, I'm like, she even called someone a moron. She doesn't even know what a moron is, but she's like, come on, moron. And I was like, you can't say that. And she's like, oh, but she doesn't know because I've probably said it. And I know David has, because David will call us. Like if I pick Charlotte up, he'll call to say hi. And he's screaming at people in the car. Like he's literally, while he's on the phone with us, he's screaming at people, honking his horn, doing all this. So then she's like, why don't you honk your horn like daddy? And I'm like, because I don't like it. I think it's rude. She's like, daddy doesn't think it's rude. So I have to tame this this issue I have because I have really strong road rage. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say that I have not chased somebody down who's cut me off. I'm not going to pretend I haven't. And when I say chase them down, just for like one or two exits, get real close, maybe give them a little stink eye, thinking that I'm so powerful and strong. But I sometimes have done that with Charlotte in the car, and I realize that's not the best parenting, I would say. And especially when she was more of an infant, I did it. Now, I mean, I don't really do it as much because I realize that I suck and that was really terrible. But I do pick up on her road rage. She's like, oh, man, what is this grandma driving so slow for? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this what I say, that this is what she's picking up? Or it just, it kind of makes me laugh. But at the same time, I kind of put my head like between my legs or my tail between my legs and just die because I know that I'm going to be creating a monster here. And that is something that, well, I don't know. And my mom has road rage too. And my mom, when I was a kid and I was driving, my mom would like pull up to the person just to give them a dirty look. And I would be like, Mom, do you think that they care that you're driving past them, that they pissed you off and you're giving them stink eye? And she would like, it makes me feel better. And guess what? Now I'm doing it. All the things I don't want to do that my mom does, guess what? I'm doing it. And Charlotte's going to do the same. She's already doing some of the stuff I do. It's crazy. Don't understand it. But I think I have to squash the road rage. It's bad, 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 bad. And plus now it's so scary. You hear all these crazy stories and I see these videos of people like really, it's not just a middle finger and like a stink eye. It's like, you know, maybe death. I don't know. Terrible, horrible things. And I'm like, well, is it really worth it? I mean, whatever. I got there 4 minutes later than I wanted. It's fine, I guess. So that is my rant on road rage, which I have all the time. And especially going over the 405, man, that freeway, I can't. Okay, so today I want to talk about bathroom organization. And I want to say that bathrooms, these are another area where you have bathrooms that are size of small houses and you have bathrooms that are size of an outhouse or a Cracker Box, or, you know, there's some of the older houses like in Burbank where, I mean, you know, these bedroom or these houses have like two, sometimes three bedrooms and one bathroom. And it's so small, maybe like a couple drawers, and you're really struggling, especially if there's like three bedrooms and one bathroom. You're like, just no, everybody should have two bathrooms. There should just be a bathroom where everyone goes number two, and then the bathroom where everybody can use if they're at your house. So one bathroom with three people or four people, oh no, no. But there's all the shit. We all have all the shit, and women have more shit than men. We know this. But I see absolute crazy bananas craziness. In a typical bathroom, you know, you have a vanity, maybe it's a double sink, and then there's drawers, maybe husband's side, wife's side. But usually the husband has like a drawer, and then the wife has like hers, his side. Maybe if there's like a linen closet, sometimes she has crap in there. She has all this stuff. I have a client that has an entire 5-shelf linen or like linen closet built in her bathroom that is just all her hair stuff. And her hair, like, you know, tools. And I'm like, well, what's your husband going to do? Like, he doesn't even have the drawer on his vanity. And she's like, well, we'll have to figure it out. And I'm like, he's just going to, what, hold his toothbrush and his, like, shaving? I don't get it. With that being said, I see tons of stuff. Okay, we love beauty products. Women love beauty products. We love all of the things, right? We go, we buy all the hair stuff. You go get a facial. They sell you all the shit that they use, or you love all the shit, or you try new face care. And it's 17 different items. And you found this stuff from now Korea, and you saw it on Instagram, and now you buy those whole sets. And there's all this stuff, and there's all this stuff, and there's all this stuff. We are so gluttonous, as I've said a million times. Americans are extremely gluttonous, and I've seen it in the last 9 years. It's made me reevaluate my purchasing in life. I love beauty products. It makes you feel good. Your hair smells good. You perfume, face stuff, makeup, all of this stuff. Guys, they really just have like, you know, their little electric shaver, maybe a razor, an electric toothbrush, and maybe my husband doesn't have hair, so He doesn't have any hair stuff, but maybe like some gel or something. I don't know. They have nothing, really. Really nothing. Women take over all the stuff. And I always say, are you really using all of this stuff? Are you really using all of it? So the first thing is, and I say this with every single room that you go into, and I do this, and I know it sounds repetitive, but when you walk into a room, any room in the house, and it is a shit box to you, you feel like it is just overwhelming. Where do I start? You know, you have all the drawers that are messy. You have all this stuff. There's stuff on the counter. I do not like stuff on the counter. I really try to make sure that when I leave your home, regardless of what room we work on, everything has a place. And that is why my business in its proper place, I really do try to stick with that. So I take every single thing out. It doesn't even matter. The drawer that you haven't touched in 55 million years, guess what? I take that stuff out. Maybe I put it in a bag. We look at it. There's stuff in the back. The first thing I do, anything that's trash, whatever, but I just go through the stuff that's expired. People think that makeup, people think that products, you know, there are some things that really do can like withstand time, I guess. You know, maybe like your first aid supplies, right? That's fine, whatever. I usually put those in a small basket or bin. Some people have enough first aid supplies that they could work at a triage in like the middle of the, you know, wherever, where they're doing a triage. I don't even know where you do a triage, in the middle of somewhere. And they have enough supplies for like 7 years. And there's like three of you. And it's like, I know kids like Band-Aids, but how many like ace wraps and like, they're three. And you don't do any activities that are warranting 7,000 gauze pads. And, you know, or you had a surgery and you kept the gauze pads from 12 years ago. Like, you're not even using those. Or you had your baby and they give you all this stuff. Remember when you came home, we had your baby and they gave you this bag of like gauze and all the stuff that women have to use and this and that. You used it for a little bit and then you still keep all the stuff. It's like, why? I don't know that you need it anymore. But again, if you want to keep it, just pare it down a little bit. I take everything out. I go through dates. I go through what's old, what's junk, what's half empty, what's empty. Some people have empty stuff still in there. What's crap? Like, what is truly trash? And when I say crap, I mean what is truly trash. Perfume. People keep perfume for like 25 years. I'm like, alcohol turns in your perfume in a couple of years. Yes, you may be able to have it for a little bit, but you're not wearing 25-year-old perfume that your grandma gave you. It's turned. It doesn't smell the same. It's weird. Sometimes you'll notice it even turns like a different color. Like, I know it was expensive. I know it. I get it. But if it was something you wore all the time, you probably wouldn't have a 20-year-old bottle. So maybe just kind of reevaluate that. Same thing with makeup. Mascara, all of that stuff that has a little bit of alcohol in it. Has mascara, you're putting it on your eyes. You're putting it back in the tube. You're doing that. You only should be doing that for a few months. People keep shit so long. And I'm like, let's just, you want all this beauty, skincare, you want to take care of yourself. You're also taking care of your makeup. Again, you're putting a brush on eyeshadow. You're putting it on your eye. You're doing this. Yes, you clean your brushes, but after a while, it just kind of runs its course. Maybe a year, sometimes two. Some people, you know, fight me on it. Oh, no, it's fine. I'll keep it. You can keep whatever you want. You can even keep the trash. But the thing is if you're really trying to pare down some space and make room for the stuff to not be on the counter, I have a client who severely ADHD family, not only the wife, the husband, and the little boy is, you know, on the spectrum. A lot of we have to make some adjustments because there's a lot of chaos in a very small space. And I know I help her pretty much every month and just kind of do like a zhuzh. I call it a zhuzh for her house. But the bathroom is their biggest challenge. They have the one bathroom. You know, the son likes certain things a certain way. She has to have things a certain way. The husband has to have things a certain way. And they have a single sink, one little cabinet, no drawers. And they have like a cabinet above the toilet, which is also a great place when you're a little limited on space, is getting a cabinet above the toilet. But you have to, we have to separate it into stuff that makes sense for them, what does not make sense for me. So I do everything by category. They do not. So there are adjustments to be made and there's some things that, you know, but typically I try to do hair stuff together, you know, obviously makeup together, face care together in the middle drawer or the top drawer in the, maybe in the middle of the vanities. That's always like the toothbrush, the stuff like that. How many dental flosses do we need after we go to the dentist and they give you 12 and you've been going to the dentist, you know, twice a year for 50 years. It's a lot of dental floss that you still have. And maybe those are great things to give to like the homeless in like little bags if you're not using it. Some people use like the water pick instead of dental floss, or they use those little ones now that you just like just plastic and a little piece of dental floss that you carry with you, the little, I don't know what they're called, little sticks. Those seem to be in every house. So we don't need 10,000 of these things that just take up space. Donate them, give them to the homeless, something. Or toothbrushes. If you're using electric toothbrushes and you have a few, you know, but maybe you bought 75 Costco ones that have 14 in a pack, you have enough toothbrushes, donate them to the homeless. That is a great, you know, great place to kind of part with those since you aren't using them. But they do take space. And these are ideas that help you kind of eliminate space. Shower gels, body washes, all of that stuff. You know, most of the time, some people don't have, I'll be honest, I actually have a ton of body products that are underneath the sink because I love different shower gels. I put like 5 in the shower at once and I just use them every day. Some people use the same kind and they just have like a backup or whatever. But I don't really see a lot of that as like a problem. It's always makeup. It's always skincare and like hair tools. Like how many times are you using a beach waver when your hair is already curly? Like how many times, because they're cool things, or the dryer that you can put you hair dry, but at the same time, it kind of is like a round brush and it straightens out your hair. That's great. That eliminates 2 hair tools. That's a dryer and also like a round brush kind of, you know, situation. And people still have like 2 or 3 of everything. They'll have like 2 or 3 curling irons, like a 1/2 inch, 1 inch. So I'm like, how often do you curl your hair? Well, I never curl my hair with a curling iron because I'm usually in a hurry. Okay, so that answers that. So these are just questions that we used to do in a different time, different life, different time. Before kids, I don't want to think that we didn't do anything after kids. We don't, you know, brush our hair. We don't curl our hair, but it's just very different. And there's also different tools that, or different kind of quirks that you can do that you don't need all this stuff. You don't need all this bathroom stuff. Like I had somebody that had 36 brushes and of those, 14 were round brushes. When are you doing that? Well, they're different sizes. Okay. Well, one of them's like kind of metal and then one of them's, okay, but the one you use, I can see because it has 17 years of hair in it. Like you use that brush. I can see that you use that brush. So maybe you just keep 2 or 3. You don't need 57 or whatever. You don't need all this stuff. It's just too much stuff. So when you are challenged on space and you need to get rid of stuff, you really do need to get rid of stuff just for space factor. Some people, like I said, they don't want to. And some people have bathrooms as big as bedrooms. Just that. It's like the tub that's, you know, the tub you dream of and you see in like movies where you 17 people can fit in there and have like drinks and like a party and you barely can get your body in your tub without your feet hanging over. So it's, you know, it's a different scale. So, you know, you don't have a lot of space to have, they have shelves in the bathtub where they can put all their bath salts and they have like a basket of hand towels and that's like ideal. Of course it's ideal. Of course it's wonderful. Who doesn't want all of these the space for all of these amazing things that you see, but sometimes in these houses, we just don't have it. We do not have the space. I mean, I can work some serious miracles, but the bathtub is the bathtub. I can't make it any bigger or smaller. We can get a shower caddy. We can get those, you know, like suction cup shelves. You obviously can't put a lot of stuff on there, but there are some tricks to do to have the stuff that you want because you do like to take a bath, you know, every day or once a week or whatever. I'm just trying to give you tips and tricks about what helps you when you are a little bit lacking of space. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. People have nail polish. Oh, here, this is a funny story. Well, it's funny to an organizer, I'm going to say. It's not funny in real life. Like, you wouldn't do stand-up with this, but I will say this is funny. So I had a client. I have many clients. This is just happens to be one I remember of the situation. She had 2 huge, she bought like nail polish bins. Like she bought these like where they lift up and it had all the nail stuff, all the toe separators, excuse me, the nail files. Then she had like 7,500 bottles or so many bottles of nail polish. I've never seen that much nail polish in my life. Every shade that she had, if she had red, she had 72 reds and it would be like one little minuscule difference. And I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe we should go through this and like pare it down. I'm like, well, first of all, do you even do your own nails? She's like, absolutely not. I go and get my nails done. Okay. So do we just like do this? Oh, and she doesn't have little kids. So she wasn't even like painting the little girls or the boys' nails or whatever. I mean, literally, her kids were older. I'm like, well, why do we have all this? Well, because I love the colors. Do you bring the colors with you? No, I just love to buy them. Okay. So we sat. And I said, well, do you want to pare down some of these or, you know, and she's like, I don't know. I really don't feel ready to do that, but okay. And we sat at a table and she looked at two red colors of nail polish for 6 minutes and she decided on one. She set it aside in the trash or the little thing that I had, a little trash bag. And then later on, she ended up pulling it out and said she couldn't do it. But we spent 6 minutes for two reds that were almost identical. I could not tell the difference, but the name of it was different and it was the same brand. So I knew there was a slight change. I couldn't even tell the difference. So sometimes people aren't ready. And I didn't understand the fact that you don't get your nails done and you don't even bring your nail polish with you. So if you bring your nail polish with you, I get it. But I don't know that you need all that. Like that is just sitting there and it's just going bad. So everything is even more expensive. Stuff's expensive. Like, you know, kind of, I try to help people like, let's use what you have before we get more. I have clients that are truly, I'm not taking any light of this. They are absolute shopaholics. And there's 1,000 different reasons. There's a lot of like psychology reasons behind it. You know, maybe they grew up, they didn't have money. Now they do. There's so many factors into that. But one thing I say is, you know, I will give you all of my information. I will help you in every capacity that I can. I even do research on my own to try to help them with different things. But I'm like, just for 1 month, use what you have, especially situations like in the bathroom or in the kitchen. I feel like people just like, we're always afraid we're going to like starve to death. And so our pantries are just filled with shit. It could be whatever. Same in the bathroom. It's like 700,000 face care things, 700,000 hair things. I'm like, use what you have. Use what you use. If you wanted to try something and it didn't work out, you know, give it to somebody else or toss it, whatever. But just try not to buy anything for 1 month in one area. And I say bathroom just because it becomes such a thing. I mean, people love products. You love it. You feel good. You feel good with stuff. I get it. You feel good when you have a new outfit. You feel good when your hair looks good. You want to feel good. But don't waste your money because at the end of the day, what we're doing is my goal is to not be like, hey, we just threw away three trash bags full of bathroom stuff. And as we know, that's probably a couple $1,000s minimum. And so it's like, I'm just throwing it away because it's expired, it's turned, it's, you know, all these things. So just try to like utilize what you have, especially when you are, you know, budget conscious and also space conscious. Like you don't have space to have all this stuff. And what happens is we buy it, we keep it in the bag, we throw it in a closet because we're like, I don't have room for it or I don't have time to organize this. And then the system keeps going. And I really do try to break these cycles and these systems that we have that just, we keep bringing stuff home. We keep bringing these bags home of stuff and we love it. I get it. I love it too. But I try to help you have a place for it, use what you have and not be so wasteful of your money. It's really... or skincare that caused you a reaction or whatever it is in the bathroom. I like to do little bins in the drawers, you know, and separate them, especially if they have like larger drawers. Some of these bathrooms are it's really nice. They have really large drawers, but I separate everything with these bins. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it's nice to have a couple little bins in the drawers that obviously fit where you can maybe put multiple things in that drawer. You know, maybe it's hair and makeup if you don't have a ton. Some people wear like they have one little makeup bag. That's it. Then you have people that have like an entire room, a whole vanity just of makeup. I remember a few years ago a makeup like influencer reached out to me to help her. And I And she's like, oh, my garage is kind of my studio. I do a lot of makeup, you know, tutorials and stuff on YouTube. And I walked in and I was thinking she just meant like, oh, I have like a, that's where I kind of keep my stuff. It was an entire garage, top to bottom, front to back, in every nook in between. 99% of it was makeup that these brands sent her. That because she does videos and she does all, you know, she was an influencer. And this is a couple years ago. I mean, now it's so much even more evolved, but she would get like the entire collection, even though she had not really the skin type for everything. She just had boxes and bags and gift bags. And every day I was there one day and she had like 35, you know, boxes of Amazon or whatever, wherever they were shipping it from, but like 35 huge boxes. I was opening these boxes and showing her. And then we were making these donation piles so she could give the makeup she would never use. It didn't even match her skin tone. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen this. I mean, I would be in heaven, right? You have so much makeup. She's like, yeah, I love doing the videos and stuff. She's like, I can never even use all this makeup. So we actually separated it into like donation places for like women's shelters and stuff. And it was really nice. I mean, she obviously gets it for either free or whatever. And she would, you know, promote it. But then at the end, she's not promoting everything. She's promoting what she wears and what she does. So that felt really good. And the same thing can apply for you. Like stuff that you're not using or that's brand new and you realize, you know what, this isn't what I wanted. Maybe you'd take it and donate it if it's a new condition and do something nice for people that, you know, just don't have the luxury of having some of that stuff. And that always makes me feel nice to tell people, like, I'll help you find a place if you're really specific about it. Because, you know, you don't want to just toss it. It's money and it's money down the drain and you're trying to, you know, clean things up. And I will say this until my last breath is cleaning out a room, unorganizing room is really also cleaning out mentally. Mentally, it is cleaning out because one of the things I keep continuously say is when you walk into a room that drives you crazy, and I'll say even a bathroom since I'm talking about bathrooms today, you walk in, you're like, fuck, there's shit all over the counter. I have to move 12 things to get one thing. This bathroom's too small. Maybe the bathroom's big. It doesn't even matter. You have shit everywhere. You can't find stuff or you end up, it goes to the back. You're not going to pull the stuff from the back of the drawer or the back of the cupboard, right? So you buy new. So sometimes I'll find people that have 6 or 7 of the same thing because they're like, I didn't even know. So that's like one of those things where if you know where everything is, if you see what you have, when I come to your house and we go through something, and a lot of times people hire me for one specific thing, but then they see that it is a puzzle. They do see the just relief they have in their shoulders, in their mindset, in their brain. If you just, you know, have everything organized, you'll know what you have. It clears up your mind because I guarantee you every week, if you have a house that is chaos, what you consider chaos for you, when you start chipping away at it, your mind doesn't think about it every day. And you don't go, oh, when I get home, I really should go through this or I really should do this. And gosh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever your reasoning is or your excuse or you're scared, you don't know where to start. That's probably one of the number one things people say to me. I just don't know where to start. So if I start in one drawer, then I get sidetracked because maybe we have, you know, a little bit of, you know, ADHD. Maybe we get a little sidetracked. Maybe I have people that have, you know, OCD. I have so many different, it's just hard. And for somebody like me, I have no emotion going in. I don't have those ties that make me get paralyzed when I walk into these rooms. And so if I can help you get those systems, it also clears your mind. And believe me, you have a million other things that need to take up space in there. And trying to find, you know, a shampoo and a conditioner in your bathroom isn't one of them. So let me help you just kind of streamline that. And it's not painful. It's very easy. I know a lot of people are very, very scared, very intimidated. They're embarrassed. That's probably one of the bigger things I get. And it's like, I don't, you know, I really don't see that. I see of how can I help you? How can I bring your mental clarity back? Because this is just chaos in your brain that's not necessary. And some people, they can't afford to have an organizer or they can't afford to have, you know, somebody come in, and that's okay too. And when you listen to the podcast or you listen to or read books or listen to different podcasts on organizing and especially listening to my podcast, I really try to make you feel like it's not embarrassing. It's not It's just, let's clear your mind. Let's get you back on track. So these little tricks and tips that I'm giving you, try saying that a few times. You know, maybe you can do them at home and it's not so overwhelming for you. And that's really my goal, is I really do see relief on people's face. Sometimes I'll get these amazing text messages, and even from clients that I see regularly for years, that I have clients that I've had almost the whole time I've been in business. And they still, every once in a while, you know, some days it's just mundane. I go in, I do my thing and I leave. But some days they're like, wow, today I just feel really good. Like, I feel like I can breathe. I feel like, you know, and when you have chaos on your counters, when you have chaos in your closets and you can't see what you have, and now you find out you're kind of wasting money that's just not necessary. It doesn't matter if you're a bazillionaire. It doesn't matter if you're on a budget. The same thing is, you don't want to keep buying stuff to just throw this shit away. And, you know, that's my goal, is just help you kind of get streamlined and get back what you need, and use that mental stuff for all the other shit we have to deal with on a daily basis, which also includes being an adult. And some days being an adult is hard. And it sucks sometimes. I went and saw my mom for a couple of days, and I'm just like, my mom like did my laundry for me. I really didn't even have that much laundry, but she just did it. And I was like, it's really nice, because sometimes I think my second job after being Charlotte's Uber driver, not even being an organizer, I think that's more my third job, is also folding laundry. And it was really nice having my mom do that. And my mom's also a little bit anal, so I know that she likes to do stuff like that. She likes to, you know, dinner, and then I'll be like, well, let me do the dishes. She's like, no, I got it. Because she has her own system, and but I just sat there. I didn't have to do shit. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And when I go into people's houses, I want you to feel good and just kind of, you know, and I felt good when I was at my mom's. I'm like, I didn't have to do anything. We just watched baseball, and we were just chit-chatting and stuff, and it was really nice. And I got to fill my brain with other adulting things that kind of, you know, just are there and you have to deal with. And sometimes you don't want to deal with it. And it was nice just being home with my mom and just having her kind of, I don't want to say take care of me, but she kind of did. So that is with the bathroom, with organizing, just my spiel on just how my mindset is when I go into people's houses, where to start. I take everything out. Every single thing out of the drawer. And then usually I clean the drawer, just because I personally am not just going to put shit back in a drawer that's dirty. But also, if I'm going to put containers in there, I want it to be fresh and new. And especially in these smaller bathrooms, you really just have to be smart with the space you have. And my one client, I was saying in the beginning of this little verbal diarrhea that I have about bathrooms and everything else that goes on, is, you know, her bathroom is a big challenge. And, you know, I just, what works for her, I want it to work for her, not for me. So, and that's how I go into everybody's house. I give you ideas. If it doesn't work for you, and if we continue to work together, and maybe I did something that you said, you know what, this actually doesn't work for me the last 2 weeks, I realized this is very chaotic for me, then let's make it less chaotic for you. But just, you know, finding what you have, having it in a system that makes your life easier, so you're not scrambling and running to CVS and buying 75 of the same things. And then we find it and we're like, oh man, I looked all over. And, you know, maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't look all over, but I just found 7 of them for you. So now you're set for life. So that is my take on bathrooms. I'm not going to get too, I mean, you kind of get the gist of it. Just a simple purge, a simple coupled little drawer organizers, you're good to go. Obviously, the bigger bathrooms, you know, you get a little more luxury of like baskets of towels, and, you know, you can do this and you can do that in your bathrooms. But some of these bathrooms just don't have the space. I mean, there's bathrooms in Burbank that I've gone to where your knees are touching the door, like you from the toilet, like it's so tiny. So you're not putting baskets on the floor. You're just trying to, you know, maximize, maybe adding a couple shelves, maybe adding the cabinet above your toilet, which gives you some extra space. And if you have the luxury of having a linen closet in your hallway, maybe you set aside a little bin or a basket of like carryover stuff. Like I always have, you know, extra shampoo and conditioner, just at least one set. So I'm not like panicked if I'm out and then I know I have to run and get it. I already have it. And maybe that stuff you can't keep in there, but these are just little ideas and things that really seem to work with my clients and for myself as well. So that is my take on, bathrooms. I also wanted to mention another thing that is I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I'm going back to ranting. I kind of thought I was going to keep my ranting to a minimum, but here's something new that I feel I see a lot, and I really don't know if it's me, and I know I'm kind of going off the path of conversation. It's like back to ranting. Why do people now, lately, feel the need to walk and talk on their phone with the speaker on in restaurants, when you're at, you know, like you're going to be at a Target and you're in, the person in line is on their phone on the speaker? Like, I give two fucks about what you're saying. I don't think anyone else cares. They also make earbuds and they make like AirPods and all of the things that you can just listen. Or why do you have to talk on the speakerphone when you're in the middle of ordering your Starbucks, or you're in the middle of walking and like trying to have a conversation with me on something and or whatever, and you're on your, I don't understand this trend. I don't understand it. I see it all the time. It started with, I would see people like on walks, like a little bit older people, maybe walking and their phones on speaker. I'm like, all right, maybe they don't have headphones. No big deal. But now you're taking it into stores and malls and Starbucks. Like, you're literally ordering your food, talking or ordering your drink, talking on your speakerphone. We can hear your conversation. No one cares. No one cares but you and the person you're talking to. Why are we doing this? And it's all the time. I see it all the time. And I have to tell you, it makes me angry. I kind of secretly want to take the phone and throw it and stomp on it on the floor, but I don't. Just so you know, I don't do it. I want to, though. I really, really want to. I find it so rude. I don't know. And if you're one of these people that do it, please know, never tell me. And I'm very sorry if I offended you, but I just don't understand it. Just pause the call. Order your Starbucks. The person can still sit there and just be quiet. Why do we got to hear all your shit? I don't need to know what you're donating to your kid's school's party. I don't need to know that, because I got to remember, oh shit, my kid has a Easter party coming up. I got to remember to get eggs and fill it with candy that doesn't have nuts. So it's just, I don't get it. It's just like, why do you think we want to hear that? And it kind of goes to another topic of like this, I don't know. It kind of is a very, I don't want to get into being just terribly ranting today, but like this entitlement, like you want to be on the speakerphone. You want to talk about your bullshit, which it's not bullshit to you, but you don't want to hear my conversation. I don't want to hear yours. And another thing too, is this happened at Starbucks 2 days ago, is why I think it's fresh in my brain. This woman was on the speakerphone. And also, when you open the door for somebody and you could just like say, thank you, I'm holding the door for you. Charlotte, you know, she's trying to be a big girl and she's trying to hold open the doors, but sometimes the doors are heavy and I usually stand behind her and kind of open it and people just don't say anything. I'm like, it just takes 2 seconds to be nice. Like, get off your fucking speakerphone and say thank you when you go through the door. I don't feel that that's a lot to ask for. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's what I wanted to say. And those are my vents for today, because I have a lot of them. I'm not going to lie, guys. I do have some rants that I go on, because I just find that sometimes people are just rude. And one thing I'm teaching Charlotte, I try to teach her, is even if somebody's mean to you, even if somebody's this, even if somebody's that, to you, you don't have to be their friend, but always be nice to them. Don't be rude. Be nice. If they say hello to you, even if you don't really like how they are to you, if they say hi to you for some reason that day, you say hi back, you smile. You don't need to be their friend. You don't have to play with them, but please don't be rude, because I don't think enough parents are telling their kids that, or their teenagers that, or even freaking adults. Honestly, adults, that's where it starts. Some of these people are so rude, and my little girl is holding a door for you and I'm standing behind, obviously holding a door, and she's holding her tea and you can't even say thank you. I kind of want to kick you in the shin. I really do, but I don't. But I want to, just so you know, I do want to, when you don't say just one little word like thanks, or even just smile so I know you acknowledge that we're holding the door. I don't expect red carpet and gold coins to fall from the sky. Like, I don't want to be praised for something I just do naturally. I don't want to, but come on, like, have some common courtesy. Get off your speakerphone on your phone. No one cares what you're cooking for dinner. No one cares. No one gives a shit. Don't care. So that is that. And on that note, on that note of my rant of a few things that annoyed me this week, I'm just going to say thank you so much for listening. I love talking. Every week is a treat. And I'm very lucky to tell you guys my story and unpack some things with you. Please leave any feedback that you have. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, feelings, like, subscribe, all of the things. And I look forward to next week's episode. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at @Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.